Hello and welcome to Into the Wild, the podcast that brings you animal facts, wildlife updates and nature stories from the professionals to you. I live in London, a large, busy and packed city, but I still see so much wildlife, and that's very similar to this week's guest, birder Jeffrey Ward from New York City. This show, we are all about city wildlife, especially birds. Jeffrey tells us all about how he got into birding, the types of animals you can find in New York City, and the challenges that you face hunting for wildlife in a city. We also touched on a social media movement aligned with Black Lives Matter called Black Birders Week, an amazing hashtag that Jeffrey was involved in, showing the huge amount of black birders all around the world. Thanks very much for tuning in and enjoy the show. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Into the Wild. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's later on in the afternoon, so I'm now shattered at the end of my working day. I feel like I'm relaxing, but have you had a busy day or got a busy day ahead?
Not too busy, no. No. I have a pretty chill day today, yeah.
Nice one. I'm very jealous. So thank you so much for joining me on today's show. I'm really excited to talk to you. As always, for the benefit of the listeners, can you just tell me who you are and what is it you do?
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am Jeffrey Ward. I am a birder, naturalist, science communicator, born and raised in New York City, but recently moved down to Georgia about 2 months ago. I've been in the field of birding and ornithology for about 6 years now.
Wow. So why, if you don't mind me asking, what was the interest? Because if you were born and raised in New York, was it just to try and live somewhere else? Do you have connections in Georgia already?
My older brother's out here and my parents are out here.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, it felt like it was the perfect time.
Yes.
With the whole COVID and lockdown and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So cool. So like you said, you've been in the birding world for 6 years. So I guess for you, and this is a question we always go with at the top, how and when did your kind of interest for nature and wildlife begin for you?
I've been into nature all of my life. It originally started with nature shows and field guides as a child. I'm one of six kids, so me and my siblings would flip through pages of field guides, all kinds, like mammals and fish, birds, reptiles, all of it. We would flip through these pages and like block the name and play games like trying to ID the animal on the page.
Oh, cool.
With the name blocked. That was like my childhood. So like I was fascinated with animals growing up. And then fast forward to 2013, my older brother, Jason, moved to Georgia. Like a few years before that. And he told me whenever he mentions that he's from New York to people, they mention Central Park because it's this magical bird place.
Yeah.
So I, one day, in, I believe November of 2013, I was walking through Central Park just without binoculars, trying to see what I can see, and was failing really badly. And then some people, I ran into some people with scopes and binoculars, and there was like a large group looking up into these pine trees. So I walked up to them and asked them what they were looking at, and it was a barred owl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so somebody lent me their binoculars. I watched it for a little while and then got home, could not stop talking about it, and got my first pair of binoculars that Christmas in 2014, started, and it's been like this since then.
That's amazing. So it started with like I guess that's quite weird, isn't it? The Central Park, obviously everyone knows that exists, but you didn't, it wasn't somewhere that you think of going to go and see wildlife at first. So you, like you said, you were like raised in New York City. What kind of birds and wildlife do you get in a busy city like New York?
Birds migrate along flyways. And there's four different flyways. There'll be Pacific, Central, Mississippi, and Atlantic. In New York, we're along the Atlantic, so we're in a good position as far as migration goes.
Yeah.
They're flying over, they look for somewhere to land and, like, refuel, and if you ever flown over New York City or any, like, large city, it's all concrete and buildings, and there's very few green patches, and one of those patches would be, like, Central Park, for example. And everything just flies down to Central Park. That's kind of what makes Central Park so amazing. as far as wildlife goes in New York City, there's days that you can see 70, 80 species in parks in New York City of birds.
Wow.
Along with groups of mammals like raccoons and coyotes and skunks and white-tailed deer. Or in the water, if you want to go into the water, you can see harbor seal, gray seal, different sharks. We have bottlenose dolphin off our coast.
Oh, really? You get the dolphins off the coast of the city?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, man. I didn't realize you get them that close or that round. I guess, I don't know, with cities, I always feel like there's so much traffic, both inland and on the coast. I don't think of animals like that coming. But I guess we get seals in around London as well, and we get dolphins occasionally coming into the Thames, so it's kind of the same for us. But you just don't think of it as a thing that happens. Do you get you said about the migratory birds? Is there many native species that stay in New York all year round?
There's a good amount. For the most part, like wintertime is in migration. Wintertime is kind of migration for ducks, but like that's when you get a good sense of like what is here all year round, like the blue jays and the northern cardinals, the American robins, of course our pigeons and starlings and house sparrows. But yeah, we have a good amount of, like, I would say, like, you can see a good 30 species of year round birds in a good enough park on a good day during the off migration day.
And have you seen that change? Maybe more so, because something we've seen in London over the lockdown period is, and I've literally seen it around my house, so I live in North London, and I've seen a lot more swifts come down than we ever have seen before. Like, way more, like, I can sit in my garden and see the swifts flying really low, and that never, unless I've just not seen it previously before, but I've never noticed as many. Have you seen the same thing in New York as well, the kind of influx of more wildlife coming out since the lockdown and the less traffic of everyone?
I've been out pretty frequently during the lockdown, like going to like local parks and everything. I don't know if I've really noticed a change, but I do hear that a lot, so yeah. You're not the only person I've heard that from.
It's interesting because it made me question whether I just wasn't looking as much as I am now, or whether it is really an influx, because there's an area, so our big park near us is Hampstead Heath, and there was one time we were sat in the field with some dogs we were walking, and suddenly must have been over 100 swifts were just flying down, catching all the insects around midday. And I've walked on that area all year round, and I'd never seen it before. And it's now I'm starting to talk to people in different cities around the world. Like you said, some people are saying they have seen an influx and some people haven't. So it's always interesting to see like where in the world wildlife is suddenly going, oh, there's no one here, quick, let's go and take over again. So being a birder, obviously around suburbs and around out in the sticks is one thing, but being a birder in a city must be a very different experience. What kind of challenges do you face being a birder in a city like New York?
There's like less access to green spaces. There are very few, there's about a handful of parks that I have to choose from in like New York City, as opposed to being out here in Georgia and my backyard is basically woods. So I could just like get up in the morning, make a cup of coffee, and go bird watch in my backyard. Nice. As much as that's a challenge, I still feel like it's sort of there's sort of a plus side to it. From what I mentioned before, with the whole birds migrating overnight and all landing in one specific area because they have no other choice.
Yeah.
It makes it much easier for me to see birds and just going to Central Park, because everything has to land there, as opposed to this area that I'm in right now where there's 90% trees and 10% homes, and birds have all of this area to land if they want to.
How has the wildlife changed? Because that's a really big change, like you said there, like the percentages of, you know, woodland and tree cover and stuff like that in Georgia compared to New York. Is that what kind of experience has that been for you as a birder and someone into wildlife? That must have been an incredible experience to suddenly go to and live around that kind of environment.
Still being along the East Coast, I don't see a big difference of wildlife, maybe a few more like frogs and toads and salamanders and things like that. But yeah. As far as birds go, Georgia gets the same birds that New York gets for the most part. Birds that migrate along the Atlantic Flyway stop by Georgia first and then stop by New York after. So we get the same amount of birds. Same groups of species of birds, you know? And then coming back down for fall migration, they're going to pass by New York first and then pass by us after.
Awesome. So you're kind of almost getting the same birds just at a different point.
Yeah. Different point in time. Yeah. So the only differences that I will be able to see is like, where like when migration started in New York City and when spring migration started in New York City and when fall migration started in New York City, it's gonna be different times while I'm down here, you know.
Yeah, birds will be a lot more tired when they get to you, or the or vice versa.
Spring migration, they'll be a lot more energized.
Yeah.
Fall migration, they'll be a lot more tired. Yeah.
So another thing I'm kind of interested in talking about from looking at New York City as well is the pressures on wildlife. Obviously, London, I know the pressures through and through, but I don't really get to get a first hand on what kind of pressures there are in different cities, whether they're similar, whether the world is experiencing the same thing. But in New York, what wildlife pressures are there on animals around the city?
Just like the lack of green spaces, maybe. The green spaces that we do have are amazing, but it's just, I feel like it's not enough. And the green spaces that we do have are like getting smaller and smaller as time goes by.
Because
property keeps being built places. And New York City has a big they're big on views for like tourists and stuff. So they'll chop down trees if it provides a good view of a lake or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's quite an extreme measure to take.
Yeah, you know, it's all about money at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's very true, very true. you know, in attitudes starting to change with stuff? Because I guess, again, it's in the last couple of years over here in London, but are you seeing the attitudes towards wildlife and helping it starting to change in the cities, or is it kind of still staying the same?
The only reason I think I'm noticing it start to change is because I'm actually in that field now.
Yeah.
But it could just be that I'm exposed to more people who care about wildlife. And maybe it's not really changing. I'm just like noticing more. I still see a lot of things that need to change. Yeah. So I think ultimately my answer would probably be no. I don't think things are really changing at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with what you said there, because I go through fluctuations of being optimistic and then going, actually, is this just the bubble I'm in? And talking to people that do care about wildlife, and then, you know, you go to the park after a sunny weekend and you see all the litter everywhere and you're like, actually, I don't think as many people care as I think. So I kind of really go through fluctuations of it. But one thing that I think we probably, well, I hope we share, is that in the UK, people are massive bird fans. We get a lot of migratory birds as well, and we've got a lot of native species. And people are all about them, and especially in suburb areas and during lockdown, cities have captured this as well. It's just providing feeding, water, and nesting stations for birds now. A lot more people have done it. Is that something, again, in New York that people are trying to do more of? Are they trying to cater for wildlife in whether it's a window box or whether it's a small patio garden they have or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely seen like whole little communities that have nest boxes and feeders and things like that. Maybe not as much as over there, but I have plenty of friends that have like native plant gardens in their backyard and on their on their little like porches or whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of buildings that have green roofs.
Oh wow!
Wildlife. So and it's expanding, so that's also a plus.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you said about Central Park being that hub for wildlife, and I guess it is, you know, everyone knows it. It's that really, and I've been to New York myself, and you do see it stands out beautifully in amongst all the city life as well. How managed is that as an area of woodland? Is that something that is kind of left to its own devices a lot, or is it heavily managed for from rangers and stuff?
It's a little bit of both. As I said before, it's really good for migratory birds that are migrating overnight and kind of have nowhere else to land except for Central Park. It's well managed as far as you won't find much litter, or it's relatively not a dirty park or anything.
Yeah.
But, because the conservancy does a good job of keeping everything clean and maintained. But the only problem I would have with Central Park is the rules aren't as enforced as they should be. So like there's a no dogs off the leash after a certain time, and then there's areas that are that dogs can't be off the leash at all.
Yeah.
And daily you see people with dogs off the leash running through protected protected areas that are supposed to be fenced off for a reason, and the dogs just jump over the fences. Or there's a no smoking rule in the whole entire park, and nobody cares about that, and there's people smoking all the time. Sometimes they go to like hide to smoke, depending on what they're smoking. And some of those hiding spots, maybe some of the good birding spots that we have.
So
some of the rules aren't necessarily enforced, but as far as the conservancy, like as far as the job the conservancy does, they do a good job maintaining the park.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of those things as well. It's so hard to manage stuff like that. It's like it's almost like you need constant policing, just walking around, and it's a very difficult thing to do. Do you have a favorite season for wildlife in New York? Is there a favorite time of year you like to be out and about to see wildlife?
Spring is the best.
Yeah.
Spring is the best, yeah. That's when everything is singing and brightly colored, showing off. Weather isn't too hot, too cold. Flowers are starting to bloom. You know, green is starting to come back. It's probably the best time, in my opinion.
Yeah, same over here as well. It's just it's beautiful. It's everyone's favorite season because you just everything's busy. It's like wildlife just picks up. And do you have a favorite species of, I guess not just bird, let's start with bird, but do you have a favorite bird you like to see in the city in New York?
Great horned owl is my favorite bird.
Yeah,
it's the best bird in my opinion. they nest in the Bronx where I was born and raised, in Pelham Bay Park, which is the largest park in New York City. In about January, before I came down here, there were three nesting pairs in Pelham Bay Park. Yeah, they're everywhere.
That's amazing.
Also, I don't know, it's the best bird in my opinion. It's the they can be found anywhere. Their range is ridiculous. they have over 50 different species of animal that they over 500 species of animal that they predate.
Whoa.
From anything to birds, from birds to small mammals to fish to, they eat any and everything. So
they're an essential animal, really, when you're looking at kind of the ecosystem control of different numbers to make sure things stay in line.
Definitely.
Wow, that's incredible. Over 500. Christ, I thought I had a varied diet, but that is ridiculous. That's insane.
I think it has one up on you.
Yeah. Well, more than one. Like, that's incredible. Like, you hear of, like, some animals going, they eat, you know, different types of fish and different types of bugs, but sometimes you forget how many different types of other animal there are out there as well. That's amazing. So they're up there. You would put them as your favourite. So, and what was the name of the owl again, sorry?
Grey horned owl.
And how big is that species? Is that a big animal?
About 2 feet tall, 6 foot wingspan.
Oh wow.
Pretty big bird.
Oh, that's why they're predating on so much. That's why they're eating everything. They've got a 6 foot wingspan then.
Yeah. One of the larger owls we get here.
Yeah.
The only larger owl that we get in New York City would probably be the snowy owl.
Oh, you get them in New York as well?
Yeah, but I think it's only larger by weight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, we don't. I've been dying to see an owl at the Hampstead Heath near us for ages, and I've only ever heard one. And it'll either be a barn or a tawny owl, but so not a big species by any means. But today we saw the kestrels flying. So we saw a kestrel nest in Hampstead Heath, and we've been watching it for the last couple of weeks. And then we saw the family. We're pretty sure it was the chicks because they were a lot smaller. But we saw them leave the nest for the first time today as well, which was quite exciting for us because we don't get UK wildlife. I'm not going to say it's boring, but it's not overly exciting or large. So that moment for us was very exciting today.
Yeah, that's dope. You're raising kestrels, right?
Say again, sorry.
You're raising kestrels?
No, we just saw a nest. It was a wild nest up in I thought you said you're raising. So sorry, that was a stupid moment on my behalf. Eurasian ones, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But they were pretty cool. They were flying over the fields and making lots of noise, which is not normally what we see from the kestrels up there. So we assume it was the family leaving the nest for one of the first times. The other thing I'd like to talk to you about is something I've seen online over the last couple of weeks and something you were heavily involved in, and that was Black Birders Week. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about what that was, what that hashtag and what that, I guess I'll call it a movement, what that was?
Yeah. So my brother Jason created a group on an app called GroupMe,
mm-hmm.
which now has over 100 members, and everyone is a black person in STEM. STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Cool.
After the whole Christian Cooper situation that happened in Central Park, where he got threatened and the cops called on him by a white woman after he told her to put her dog on a leash, some of us came together and created Black Birders Week in less than like 48 hours.
Yeah.
But the goal of creating this week was to bring visibility to black people in nature. Mm. We wanted to show how fed up we were with the narrative that the outdoors isn't for us, because in reality it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have never met each other. A lot of us in the group have never even, we're all over the United States. We never even met each other in person, but we all have experienced like a mutual being uncomfortable in the field because of discrimination or whatever systematic barriers are in place. We just wanted to like show the world that we exist for the most part.
And it did that beyond more than, I guess. I was sat there just on Twitter and I started to see it more and then more and then more. And like you said, it was very quick. And I was like, this is incredible to watch, because it's the same over here in the UK. It's predominantly white and it's all white. And then you started to see these people come out and I was like, this is the most positive thing in nature I've seen for a long time for me. It was just amazing to see people, like you said, all around the world going, I'm this person, this is what I do. And it was just a great time, I think, to see so much popping out. And do you think that it is something that's going to continue? Is this something that's going to, is the wave still going? Are we going to see more of this?
We're definitely going to see more of this. We're definitely going to do it again next year. Mm. And we're trying to push this to become something bigger, sort of a non-profit we're working.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. It was just such a, and I hope I took it in the right way, but for me, watching it was a very positive thing. I was like, this is just incredible. Like, on Twitter, meeting so many new people that I thought, I would have never have met or known about this person if it wasn't for this hashtag going around. And it was just a wonderfully positive thing to kind of watch happen. It was amazing. My last question, and this is a question we always end with on Into the Wild, it is, if you could pass on one bit of advice to everyone on the planet, the same bit of advice in regards to wildlife, what would you pass on?
Please learn about the animals around you. Mm. I have a whole bunch of friends that if I asked them about birds in New York City, they would say, what do you mean, pigeons? And nothing else. And there's tons of birds that call New York City home all year round. So like, just learn the birds, like learn the animals around you. Like they're your neighbors, and there's plenty of things you can do daily that can harm them in some sort of way. So like just learn what's around you, learn how you can protect or maybe prevent harming them.
Yeah.
Because they're all needed in some sort of way.
Amazing, especially the owls, the greyhorn owl that eats everything.
Yes.
Amazing. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Into the Wild. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Good luck with everything in Georgia, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with the projects and shows that Jeffrey is working on, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Jeffrey M. Ward. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify and Podbean. You can also get in touch on social media at Into the Wild Pod. Whether it's just to say hello, share some thoughts on an episode, or even let me know what you'd like to hear about next. Until next time, keep well, stay safe, and live the good life.